Blog Talk Radio.
We're racing super late models this weekend, so really excited to be getting them back out of the water. I'm Motorsports Park, of course, only three races we've raced this year because of weather. It's already June. The season's going to be winding down. We're kind of in the midway mark now, but got a lot to talk about. Of course, I got Craig Moore here in the studio with me. Mr. CJ Sports will be joining us here in just a few. And I keep hearing some background noise. Somebody please tell me I got my introduction off today. Well, maybe. I hear somebody in the background. How about you, Greg? Well, obviously we're having some technical difficulties, and hopefully you guys can hear me. As I had said earlier, I hear something in the background. All right. Greg, how the hell are you?
Well, brother, I miss you like a fine wine.
Well, and just like age, well, I guess I get a little bit better with it. I miss you too. It had been a couple of weeks off, of course.
Wait a minute. Did that sound gay?
Oh, of course it did. It's Gay Pride Week. Come on.
Yeah.
So, yep, touch the panties if you can. Doesn't matter which one. So, but that's a little bit too much for me, the other Craig. You're coming at me real hard already, man.
Oh, wow.
Took a couple weeks off and enjoyed it. Of course, I went on vacation, and then Craig went on vacation, so we had a couple weeks off to regroup and bring some good content here tonight. And real excited about having Mr. CJ Sports on here in a little bit. We're going to get to talk about racing. And I wonder what's going on up in New York, Craig Moore. Did it finally quit raining up there?
That's some really good stuff you're smoking down there in Mississippi. It stopped raining for about 3 days.
Well, there is no doubt that we smoke good stuff down here in Mississippi. Anything from ribs to chicken, shrimp on the barbie, you name it, a shish kebab. We know how to smoke it. If it comes from Mississippi, it was probably already smoked once before. Possum, squirrel, you name it. We're pretty good at smoking stuff down here.
Well, no, it has not stopped raining, actually. Actually, last weekend was really nice. We had 3 days of beautiful weather. I had an outdoor wedding on Saturday that I officiated and then DJ'd inside. Weather was absolutely perfect. And Monday, well, the start of the work week, it went to hell in a handbasket.
Well, I and thought you were going to talk about your vacation to the Bahamas and, all that good stuff. But it sounds like your vacation was a working vacation just like mine.
Nope. Honestly, then we'll get to NASCAR and we'll get to racing. But we went down to Hanover, Pennsylvania. We went down to my stepmom's and spent some time down there for 3 or 4 days and got to relax and just enjoy family time. And it was nice. And then it was back to work Tuesday. So, it's nice to go away, but it's even nicer. When you're home, you realize how comfy your bed really is.
And I think that's something, I can remember in my 20s and teens, I'd sleep on any couch as long as there was a couch to sleep on. But as I've gotten older, Craig, and, we make once-a-year vacations out and sometimes the sleeping arrangements in comedy, you know, isn't the best ever. So I've learned exactly what you're saying. There's nothing like home sweet home, but there's really nothing like that sweet bed. I mean, it's just something you get kind of used to.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Part of it might be because I'm cheap and don't want to spend money on a new box for a mattress, but that's besides the point.
Well, I remember last year about this time, Craig Moore, a lot that we talked about in the NASCAR season was the big three.
There is no big three.
We didn't really focus on that too much on the first part of the season. But as we've gotten now into the middle of the season and halfway through the regular season schedule, it feels like there has been a separation, Craig, of the big three. And you know, last year we talked a lot about Kevin Harvick and, you know, Joey Logano. He won the championship. Since then, Joey has carried a lot of momentum into 2019. The big three seems to be the same with Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Busch, which is a story that, of course, we're going to hit on here in a little bit. But what about the resurgence of Joey Logano, Craig Moore? I mean, last year was kind of up until the playoffs. You know, Joey wasn't even the hottest Ford out there, much less a favorite for the championship. But this year, Joey's found a lot of success already. Great things are going on at Penske, Craig. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know, man. Maybe he's finally going to live up to his moniker, the best thing since sliced bread. The moniker that was given to him early in his career. The boy is on fire. Now, there's a lot of controversy, and we know that controversy creates cash here at the 110 Nation Race Chat Live. But I'm curious to know your thoughts. Does it look to you like he jumped that restart?
It's interesting that you would ask me that, Craig. And I will say this. NASCAR didn't call it. You know, I mean, we've seen many times before fouls that have occurred out on the court or pass interference in football, and the refs didn't call it, right? And so... you can sit there and argue it all day, but in the end, it doesn't really matter. Joey Logano won the race. He started better than anybody else, and honestly, Craig Moore, had he pulled it on the caution before that, Martin Truex Jr. would have been ready for it. But, you know, this was two laps to go, two-lap shootout, man. You get it when you can, and so many times in other sports do you see a fourth quarter or a fourth period maybe refereed a little bit different than the earlier parts of the game, and especially when you're dealing in playoffs. And I know we're not there yet in racing, but once again, this is on the line, two laps to go. Obviously Joey didn't step too far out of bounds or NASCAR would have called it. Anybody that's this there and claims that there's going to be favoritism to Joey Logano, please, Lord, when did he become the favorite child? Because I'll be real honest with you, the guy who did all the crying, he thinks he's a favorite child. And let me tell you something. I know a lot of people that have liked Martin Truex Jr. over the years, and you know, a lot of DEI, a lot of Dale Earnhardt Jr. fans have continued to pull for Martin Truex Jr. But man, I swear, this guy cries about everything, Craig. He cries over lap cars. He cries over people who didn't go to pit, and you know, the David Reagan issue. Every week, it's like, unless she's in victory lane, who's the real crybaby over at JGR? Everybody's been saying it's Kyle Busch. Let me tell you something. At least when Kyle Busch cries, they're real tears. Okay, Martin Truex Jr. just seems to want to bitch about something every single time he doesn't get the win.
I can't agree with you more. I can't agree with you more. Now, I will say this. I think that when they come out at Daytona in a couple of weeks, or maybe even Sonoma, if they do music at Sonoma, The whoever is putting the music together for NASCAR and television probably should use the Godsmack song "Crying Like a Bitch" when Martin Truex Jr. gets introduced.
You know, and back to Joey Logano, Craig. It's you know, it's simple. The best players, the best game winners, the true talents learn how to save something for that last round. A true fighter, a boxer, he's not going to show his best stuff in the beginning. Floyd Mayweather has made a damn near billion dollars off of Bob Weaving and letting the other guy gas himself out. Logano even spun a tire, man. He even spun a tire. If Truex was strong enough, if he had the car to win, I think at that point in time when Logano spun his tire, Truex had an opportunity. But if he's sitting over there crying on crocodile tears because he thinks that Logano jumped the start, well, guess what? Logano's already in Truex's head, Craig Moore. And Truex, instead of worrying about getting his own start, was crybabying about Logano and missed an opportunity when Logano spun his tires. As a matter of fact, now that I've said that, Craig Moore, no wonder he was crying so bad, because he knew that he got beat just because he was watching somebody else instead of what? Minding his own damn business.
Pretty much. But I will say that now I watched it. I watched the replay over Race Hub's version with Mikey and whatever that girl's name is that's on there with him. I can't stand her. Was it Shannon Spake? She gets on my nerves. They did the not the race at 90, but like a race recap, and they showed the telemetry of Logano's car, and he had restarted in first gear, which caused his tire spin. And if Truex had if Truex had been ready or anticipated that that was going to happen, because it's not, Truex is no rookie. He's been around a long, long time. He should have been ready for that. He should have been ready for something out of the ordinary. And that's all I'm going to say about that. He didn't leave before the restart zone, as far as I could tell from the multiple replays. But, you know, he should have been ready for that.
Races are won in the shop, Craig Moore. Races are won in the shop. With this new package, people are trying things, and they're gonna hit and miss. It's like a crapshoot right now. And if Todd Gordon realized that, hey, I can get more out of this motor in the start than I'm ever going to in the long run because of my reduction of horsepower, then Craig, can you blame Todd Gordon for running a lower gear in his race car so that Logano could have the stoutness that he had when he pulled off? This is something that was won in the shop. Logano was a dominant car all day long. He was up front. I think every bit of about 40 laps, Craig, of Michigan, and that's a 2.5 mile speedway. That's a 2 mile speedway, okay? You know, that's a 2 mile speedway. So all but 40 laps, I can say it was a little on the snooze fest side. Truex got beat at the shop. He didn't get beat on the racetrack. But there again, if you're not talking about Penske and you're not talking about Joe Gibbs Racing, Craig, it's a battle between these two organizations for the whole championship at this point in time. Which kind of leads me over to, remember at the beginning of the year, we talked a lot about, to segue over into this real quick, remember that at the beginning of the year, I told you guys, if Kevin Harvick doesn't win early, it's going to create this involvement that what, you know, it's going to start getting in his head. Is my prediction coming right, Craig? And if so, tell us why.
Yeah, I think it is, and here's why. By this time last year, he'd already won 5 times. 4 times in the All-Star race. I think SHR better figure out what their problem is he qualifies well. He runs decent. But Kevin Harvick has not been the closer this year that he's been known for. And, you know, before I go out on a limb here and say he's having a Jimmy Johnson Sr. moment and might be losing his competitive edge, I don't want to have to say that. I think SHR needs to figure out what the problem is. What is it Kevin getting that he needs? Some of it is of his own doing. Some of it is Rodney Childers. It's mistakes on pit road that are being made. They better correct that. He's 9th or 10th in the point, somewhere in around there, so he's somewhat safe. But
oh, no, he's like 4th or 5th. And yeah.
Well, that's good. I wanted you to correct me. I wanted you to get involved finally.
Yeah, I think he's doing pretty well on the point side, Craig. It's just like you said, the finishes haven't been there. And this past weekend, we've seen a side of Kevin Harvick that very rarely do we see. And what I mean by that is a Kevin Harvick with nothing to say. And I think that's alarming more than anything. His comments at the end of the race were basically as dry as Marshawn Lynch. I'm only here so I don't get fined. It was pretty nonchalant. He definitely did not want to answer any questions. He definitely, had a Kevin Harvick-like attitude, but no content behind it. And that seems to be where I would start worrying because, they always say as long as you and the wife are fighting, y'all got a good relationship, it's when you no longer have an argument that you're probably off cue from each other. That may be something that Kevin Harvick is experiencing, but he's the only guy over at SHR that's guaranteed a ride next year. And I wonder if maybe that makes him believe that they're trying to put the better cars with drivers who are not so good. Let's make sure Eric Amarola for his sponsor. Let's make sure Suarez for his sponsor. And, as for Clint Bowyer, I'm just not really sure that Stuart Haas is going to be able to bring back the all three drivers that are currently at the end of their contract. And something was said by Clint Bowyer that Gene Haas does all the hiring. Now, that was a little bit of something that I wasn't ready to hear because I kind of thought that, Tony had that side of it and Gene Haas was more the money side. But if Gene Haas decides who is and who isn't going to be in those cars, it's hard to say. Cole Custer doing as well as he is in the Xfinity Series, he's probably positioned himself for at least one of those rides. Where Kevin Harvick, he's got another year left on his contract. Another year with Busch Beer. So, he may feel like he's kind of in this, what's it called? This dead zone, right, where, he's not getting the best of equipment and the organization isn't necessarily worried about bringing Harvick a championship this year. I feel like that's ridiculous, okay, because I don't care what organization puts forth. They say that it's called tanking or whatever, where athletes and teams tank so that they can get better endings at the end of the year. My feeling on that, Craig Moore, is a championship's what brings in sponsors. It's supposed to anyway. So if they're pinching pennies at Stuart Haas Racing to try to make sure that the other cars are staying competitive, then if I'm Kevin Harvick, I'm pretty upset as well.
Speaking of sponsorships and drivers that we weren't sure what's going to happen with them in 2020, apparently Hendrick Motorsports has perfect vision as far as Alec Bowman is concerned because he has signed on. I heard this earlier in the week. He has signed through the 2020 season. Now, however, he's not going to have a sponsor in Nationwide. Nationwide Insurance is not coming back to sponsor him next year. They have decided that at the end of the 2019 season, they're going to look elsewhere to spend advertising dollars, which sucks for them, which sucks for Hendrick, because now essentially you have 5 months to put together a sponsorship package, maybe six, before new diecast and new apparel needs to be done for 2 weeks in February. So they're hoping to name a new sponsor in the next couple of weeks for the 88 car. But for those of us wondering, kind of like, where's Waldo? And what's going to happen with Alex Bowman? He's not going anywhere for the next 15 months. But I thought kind of funny that
Wait a minute. Now, are you telling me that just because Alex Bowman has a contract with Hendrick Motorsports for 2020 that he's going to be guaranteed a ride? That seems like we've forgotten already about Casey Kane and the contract that he finished out on over at Levine Racing. Wasn't that a contract that Hendrick Motorsports was paying? We're not paying Alex Bowman $25 million a year to drive a race car. We're probably paying Bowman $2 million a year. Not so fast, Craig. This could be detrimental for Alex Bowman. And get the drum rolls on, whatever you need to do. Get the beating drums out. This could be it for Alex. And I'm a fan. I think you're a fan. I know Mr. CJ Sports is a fan of Alex Bowman, but this could turn into a pretty big story really quick.
Yeah, we'll have to see for sure. What is going on here? But it's good for the Bowman fans that are nice. The Bowman fans that are naive, let's put it that way.
I think that we need to be watching this kid, and if he doesn't get a sponsor announcement in the next few weeks, then there would be much reason for concern, because we're not talking about a $20 million contract with this kid. We're probably only talking a couple million. And, it's definitely not outside Hendrick Motorsports to pay a driver the remainder of their contract, even though they're not driving for Hendrick Motorsports. This also opens the door up for my theory of Kyle Larson bringing back the 5 car, and that could be the seat for which he would drive in. But others seem to think of that as Jimmy Johnson. And to be honest with you, we've speculated before that Ally was expecting results quickly. They're not getting it. Of course, Alex Bowman, maybe that's a good fit for Ally. And if, by chance Jimmy Johnson decides to retire at the end of the year, which I don't think is going to happen, there's still a lot of speculation on how all that could be worked out.
Yeah, we'll have to see for sure. I mean, still a lot to be. And so here's my question for you. Let's switch over to the truck series. I was going to be freezing to call in tonight, but I've not heard back from them. But they're out in Iowa, I think it is. I could be wrong. I was wrong on the last one. What do you think about Greg Biffle? I mean, we were watching it on the feeds Friday night. I was watching it I wasn't watching the race because I was DJing, but I was watching our message feed. Greg Biffle wins the race and gives himself an additional $50,000 for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Now, here is my question for you. Kyle Busch Motorsports has won 6 races this year in the truck series. 5 of them by Kyle himself, 1 of them by somebody who hasn't been in a truck since 2010. I could be wrong. CJ, if you want to check me on that, that'd be great. He jumps into Kyle Busch Motorsports truck. He pulls it into victory lane. The other two teams from Kyle Busch Motorsports are struggling worse than an old person trying to get up off the floor. What does Yes, exactly. What does Kyle Busch Motorsports need to do with their other three truck teams when he doesn't have somebody else running it for him? And Kyle, since Kyle can't drive no more, what does Kyle need to do to get those teams in contention?
Chill out, man. You know, that's what he needs to do. He needs to get a chill pill. He's obviously micromanaged the nerves out of these kids and, you know, expecting results, expecting wins. If you want veteran results, put veterans in your trucks. If not, then you're the testing ground for some of these kids on whether or not they're going to be successful. Not all the kids that get into trucks are going to be successful. And, it, you know, some others, they take a little bit longer time. You know, William Byron, the success that he was able to bring so quickly, you know, I think that that kind of spoiled Kyle Busch on thinking that just anybody other than him could get in a truck and compile a bunch of wins. That's not necessarily been the case. I think that he's rattled the nerves of Todd Gillian. Well, and you have to look at Todd Gillian as well. His father, David Gillian, and his grandfather, Butch Gillian, they were racers, but they weren't the money racers. They didn't come from money. They were just old school racers. And David, you know, did a lot with a lot less, and most of his career did the same thing, especially with Front Row Motorsports. But David did have a chance to run at Robert Yates Racing, and he was semi-successful there. Of course, it was, you know, not in the glory years either of Robert Yates Racing. So Todd isn't necessarily the kid that's had a silver spoon put in his mouth, and he may not react well with how Kyle Busch has managed his truck team. That's neither here nor there. Harrison Burton, on the other hand, he seems to be doing pretty well, and you know, another driver that's a son of a driver, of course, Jeff Burton's son, Harrison Burton. And, you know, Craig, you have to understand that sometimes it takes these kids a little longer. I know, you know, you look at Noah Graston. He didn't have the most glorious year, his first year with Kyle Busch Motorsports. And I wonder if Kyle at times expects too much from these guys. He's also made comments before, Craig, if you remember, that, you know, people don't respect that he's a, kind of the starting horse for some of these drivers. I think that, you know, it's a financial burden on Kyle Busch to keep Kyle Busch Motorsports going and to make sure that they're all in the best of equipment possible, only for Joe Gibbs and other teams to profit from it. You know, it seemed, wasn't Christopher Bell in a KBM truck? You know, these types of racers have come through the organization there, and so Kyle's been spoiled a little bit on thinking that just anybody can get in these trucks. But then hear my argument out, because I can contradict myself faster than anybody. Greg Biffle, who hasn't been in a truck in forever, a former truck champion nonetheless, but hasn't even been in a stock car in, what, 3 years? Steps in, has a great night, learns as he goes, puts himself in a position to win. Bam, boom, bang. He's sitting in victory lane in a Kyle Busch Motorsports truck. There's other guys, they've got to be scratching their head thinking, what are we doing wrong? So, you know, the argument can go both ways. Basically, what Greg Biffle said was, these trucks can win, and y'all need to get your stuff together and learn how to drive them, which is not beneficial, once again, if these kids are not reacting well to how Kyle Busch is managing the organization.
Well, that was going to be my next thing, is, and you hit the nail on the head, Kyle Busch seems to be micromanaging these teams, and, you know, he made some threats earlier this season where he said, if y'all don't start winning, I'm going to make some drastic changes. Now, he made them 2 weeks ago, and we'll see how long they take to implement and then gel. By implement, I mean
with their new with their new crew chiefs.
Right. You just can't expect. I mean, nobody expected William Byron and Chad Knaus to be best friends and be bunk buddies you know, in the first couple of weeks. You know, there was just no way it was going to happen. Now they seem to have hit on something, and their performance seems to have improved.
Right.
We'll see
it
where
took
that
a minute
leads.
To jail.
What's that?
It took a minute to jail. It took a minute to figure each other out.
You know, Jell-O doesn't set in 3 minutes.
Right.
You know, and I like Jell-O, so. Jell-O doesn't set in 3 minutes, and crew chiefs and drivers and I shouldn't even say that because again, well, people will have the argument. Well, Greg Biffle jumped in Kyle Busch's truck and he was able to bring home a win and collect $50,000 in extra money. But he's also has the experience, even if he hasn't been in a truck in 8-9 years. To be able to tell these guys what this vehicle needs.
Right.
And that's something that Todd Gilliland and the other driver there. That's something
Harrison
that,
Burton.
Yeah, Burton. Burton. That's something that now whose son is that? Is that Ward or is that Jeff?
Harrison is Jeff Burton's son.
Thank God, because if it was Ward's, we wouldn't be able to understand him.
That's Jeb.
Yeah, that's Jeb.
Yeah, Jeb. Three-letter words, so that it's not very complicated. Jeb. J-E-B. Jeb.
So, I mean, I think that's part of the problem. I think that they don't have the experience yet to be able to tell their crew chiefs what my truck needs to turn in the center, to turn coming off, or it's too tight in the center, but it's too loose going in. And it could very well be that the crew chiefs don't understand what these kids are saying. Like, it's like, I hate to use the Martin Truex analogy again, but if these kids are crying that these trucks are loose or they're super tight and they don't know how to drive them, well, that doesn't tell me as a crew chief how to fix the damn thing.
Very true. We're talking about inexperience here, and they don't even know how to communicate yet, you know. And so you've had crew chiefs for these trucks that have crew chiefed 5 other drivers. All of them have different lingo, but, you know, well, you know, eventually they get to the kids that they don't understand, that they don't figure out, and so they have to work a little bit harder. I think KBM as an organization should just dig a little bit deeper and try to put more emphasis into raising these talents. You can't just give up on a race car driver because he wrecks. Some of the best race car drivers ever, they had unsuccessful years. They had times where they were driving the car over the limit. If you want to talk about a driver who drove like a maniac out of his mind and got up into all kinds of stuff, then look no further than Kyle Busch at Hendrick Motorsports, Craig. He was wild. The kid would wind up in a wreck. He would do the stupidest stuff. But we knew then, if this kid could ever get that car under control, he's going to be hard to beat. Lord have mercy. I never would have thought that he would compile 206 wins in his NASCAR career. That's how many times we've seen Kyle Busch in victory lane.
All right, here's the staff DJ just shared it with group message. He hasn't been simple, hasn't been tough since 2016. Let's not do that. Infinity, not since 2010. That's not too shabby compared to the truck series, where he hasn't raced that bad girl in 15. His best was the truck in 15. First race back in 2017. It's a communication thing for these drivers.
You're breaking up pretty bad, Craig.
I said, Biffle hasn't been in the Cup Series since 13. He hasn't been in the Xfinity Series since 2010. And he hasn't sat his butt in a truck since 2004. 15 years he hasn't been in a truck. He was able to jump in a truck this past weekend, communicate with his crew chief, tell his crew chief what the truck needed and what it didn't need it, and put that sumbitch in victory lane. It has nothing to do with driving ability so much as it, I believe it has to do with communication. And communication comes with experience.
I think what it opens the door to, Craig, is some of these other drivers. We've noticed that drivers retire at a really early age. And I think that, like Greg Biffle, he stepped away a little bit sooner than what he would have wanted. But this gives him new life. Craig, could you imagine sitting down for a truck race and seeing a Carl Edwards, a Greg Biffle, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., all these guys, you know, showing up for a truck race? I think that would be the biggest thing in the world for the truck series. Greg Biffle may have hit on something that could be a definite advantage for some of these series later on. We obviously don't want people competing in the Cup Series, competing in these lower series. But has that perception changed? And this is something I definitely want to ask Mr. CJ Sports. Would this be perceived in a different manner if we were bringing guys out of retirement to race these young guys in the Truck Series and maybe the Xfinity as well?
CJ may be busy on something, working on something for me. So I apologize that
I'm gonna have you repeat the question because I heard part of the question, but I was trying to message Craig as we're working on something else as well. Also with the Greg Biffle thing, real quick. Not only has he not been in the truck since 2004, he only did one race in 2004. And then you go back to 2001, where he only did four races in 2001. So that makes it even more, you know, impressive that the fact that really he's only done five races since going back to 2001 when it comes to the Truck Series. What was your question again, Chris?
Yeah, you know, we don't like the Cup regulars dipping down into the lower series. But with Greg Biffle coming out of retirement, jumping into a truck and winning, that's my thought process, that if we had a race in a truck series that had a Mark Martin, a Dale Jr., a Greg Biffle, a Carl Edwards, and brought these guys back, because obviously racers of the old, they used to race until they're 55, 60 years old, some of them did, and now they retire, seem to be right around between the ages of 39 and 45. Would that be cool to see? Do we have a different perception with a retired driver stepping into one of these lower tier series vehicles, races, trucks, cars? Do we have a different perception with how that is versus somebody dropping down from the Cup Series? I believe it creates a lot of interest if we had an opportunity to see some of these guys that retired already do a one race deal, a one and done, and not just showing up to whoop the competition, but showing up to whoop up on another old guy. Remember, we used to have legend races. Well, this Truck Series could bring back a little bit of that, and I think it would be a great opportunity. What's your thoughts on that, Mr. CJ Sports?
See, even with the regular guys, I don't necessarily have an issue with it. If, for instance, Kyle Busch, if you put your own trucks out there, you're not at a satellite of anything, and you're straight up a team. Now, when you're a satellite of Joe Gibbs Racing or racing for Joe Gibbs Racing or whatever the case is, and it gives you an advantage, that's where I have the issue at. So it's not that I necessarily have an issue with Kyle Busch being out there and being a Kyle Busch fan. It just, I would rather Brad Keselowski had his own team, Kyle Busch have your own team. And you're not a satellite. You're doing it yourself. You're not getting the best of the best equipment, so everybody's on the same play field. But that
not showing up with Danny's money, right?
Yeah. But with that being said, you're kind of on a slippery slope with even with the Greg Biffle thing, because you're talking about a guy that's won multiple races, one of the better drivers. I'm going to say great, but one of the better drivers in his time, going into one of the best equipments out there. You're going to look like a superstar. You're going to go out there and dominate a race. And so it's easy to have this discussion right now because, yes, it looked great for Greg Biffle. But unless you're getting an opportunity to come out of retirement and get into the best of equipment, now you're going to have the same bickering that you talked about earlier about Martin Truex, when you got people in the way that have no business being in the way when we guys got out there running for championship points and everything else. So you're kind of on a slippery slope when you start talking about this now.
And I can kind of see where you're going there, but I feel even in yourself, there's contradiction there, because you bring in, you know, you bring up the topic of, you know, Sunday's money being brought in on Friday night, okay? Sunday's money, okay? We'll just use that catchphrase. And if anybody knows Sunday's money, it's a yacht that Dale Earnhardt owned that it was actually still being built at the time of his death, but it was a yacht formerly owned by DEI. But anyway, as you said, Kyle Busch does bring Sunday's money, and his equipment is the best equipment. So if you took Greg Biffle and you put him in a Jordan Anderson truck, you don't think you would get the same result. Is that what you were saying?
No, you're not going to get the same results. You're not going to – I mean, anybody looks good in – well, I'm not going to say anybody, because obviously Kyle Busch Motorsports has had their issues. That's why Greg Biffle's in the truck this year. But normally in most traditional years, you have the best equipment. You look great out there. I mean, we looked at – we got to talk about Joey Logano finally living up to his name. Well, he looked great in his Xfinity Series days when he was driving for Joe Gibbs Racing. And then once he was no longer in the best – well, he was still in Joe Gibbs Racing equipment, but – Joe Gibbs Racing Cup Series was at a different place at the time versus the Xfinity Series, so it's not kind of a fair comparison, but it is. But you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I feel like if Dale Jr. sat into a GMS truck, Dale Jr. could put out the same result, a better result than Johnny Sauter or so forth. But if you put Dale Jr. and a Norm Benning truck, then you're going to get Norm Benning results, right? Because, you know, you're talking about an organization that has financial backing, a well-established team versus a team that, you know, runs off of pocket change. And I guarantee you, what Kyle Busch puts in one truck is probably the entire budget for Thor Sport Racing, okay? And for GMS, Kyle Busch can bring that kind of money to the table. But even still, I think it would be exciting to have the opportunity to see some of these guys that have left the sport already come in and challenge these young guys. Now, of course, Elliott Sadler, you know, he tried to stay in the lower series and be relevant. I'm sorry, I think he was taking up somebody's spot over at Junior Motorsports because he wasn't even that competitive in Xfinity. Maybe he needed to drop down another series and into the truck series to maintain some relevance. But somebody like, you know, Elliott Sadler, I think he wasted a lot of people's time. But there again, when you have somebody like Greg Biffle who comes in and he wins a race out of retirement, hasn't raced trucks full time in 25 years almost, it makes you kind of wonder, you know, is this something, a trend that we're going to see? And if so, how exciting would it be to have a race, a throwback race, a legend race, where maybe you had a Martin Martin and a Dale Jr. and several other retired drivers come out of retirement for a one and done?
Hold on. Here's the problem with that. You're going to give them race cars that are going 160 miles an hour, 180 miles an hour, right?
Yes.
They don't have the same reaction time that somebody else has. And I'm playing devil's advocate here because the same thing was brought up with The Godfather earlier this week, Dave, no personality, Moody. The guy's got a personality like CJ. No, just kidding.
I'm ready for Kyle Petty to take his seat. How about that? But we'll talk about that later.
Oh, I even forget what Kyle's hashtag is. Let's move it along or some shit like that. But it was brought up on Dave Moody's show, and essentially said the difference between an all-star, between a senior circuit in NASCAR and a senior game at Texas Stadium is the fact that if they're 70 years old, they're pitching about 40 miles an hour. And they're barely getting out of the infield. You're giving drivers the same same type of cars that you're giving that the normal guys, the active guys run in, you're giving them more of a chance to get killed. And then who takes that insurance risk?
Right.
So what you're saying is that any time you're bringing a driver out of retirement, it creates a dangerous situation.
It could. Greg Biffle.
Well, we've
still
seen this with Larry Pearson. If you don't remember it, back at Bristol, I would say 15, maybe 20 years ago, they had a legend. Some of the older guys were there. Larry Pearson got into a wreck and nearby died from his life, Greg. I would have to go back and research when exactly it happened, but I do remember Larry Pearson coming into a Legends race and leaving in a helicopter ride. It is something to think about, and, you know, it's like, Greg, what got into him? What made him decide that this is what he wanted to do? It was obviously that he stepped away from racing before he was done, but there again, we don't criticize Dale Jr. for the fact that he's been showing up the past 2 years for a race, and he's supposed to be retired as well. I say criticize, but I'm only speaking on my behalf. I'm sure there are people out there with problems with Dale Jr. coming in and racing an Xfinity race. He nearby won last year, didn't he? Hello? Did we lose Greg?
I think so. I don't know. The number shows.
Well, we weren't getting anywhere with that anyway. No, I'm just kidding. Mr. CJ Sports. So, of course, we took a couple of weeks off. Is there any hot topics that you've got that you wanted to talk about?
Lord have mercy. I try to catch up. In the 2 weeks we've been off, I've picked up two jobs and everything else. It's been kind of hectic and gone to a baseball game and getting ready to go to another baseball game. So I've kind of been floating elsewhere and keeping up with Izzo and hockey and our new intern with the NBA finals. So I've kind of been stretched to the max. The week before.
Well, how about Tyler Reddick?
Tyler Reddick?
Yeah, man. I mean, Junior Motorsports has to be kicking theirself in the butt for not re-signing Tyler Reddick. He seems to be he has as much momentum built this year as what I can remember Christopher Bell and William Byron having up in the last couple of years. Tyler Reddick feels like the real deal.
Most definitely. It's funny when you see a situation or a mishap, I guess, or you feel that you're not willing to spend that money or take that chance, that you feel that you can go in another direction and you get into that next season and you realize, what was you thinking? Why did you not make that move? Why did you not spend that money? Why did you not
give
that driver in your stable? Yes,
right.
And this is you know, like I said, a prime example of that. So
yeah, and with you saying that, it's definitely Junior Motorsports seems to be struggling right now. Justin Allgaier is not having a good season. He's not having a bad season, but he's not having a typical Allgaier season.
Then you look over at
Tyler Reddick, and he's done nothing but explode this year. And so you're talking about the 2018 Xfinity Series champion who was at Junior Motorsports last year. Richard Childress Racing hasn't done too much over the last few years. Now all of a sudden Tyler Reddick has found his groove, and that two-car is one to beat almost every weekend now.
And
he's running with the likes of Cole Custer and Christopher Bell, so that says a lot.
You know, I'm not trying to throw Allgaier underneath the bus, but you kind of knew what you were getting. You knew when you kind of put your money into that direction and kind of made him be your guy, and that was the direction you wanted to go, what you were getting, you knew that it was a crapshoot. You know, Allgaier is a decent driver, but he's had his ups and downs, and you knew that this was going to be a possibility, that, you know, you knew that some weeks, okay, it was going to look good, and Allgaier was going to show up, and then you know there was going to be other weeks that, yeah, you might be rethinking your decision. And so I'm with you. I would have went ahead and invested and done everything I had to do to secure what I felt was a for sure thing. And, you know, we all know nothing's a for sure thing, but obviously Tyler Reddick is showing us that it was a much better bet. I just don't know, especially this late into Allgaier's career, that, you know, he had his chance in the Cup. And, you know, being over at A-Scotch Racing, you know, you didn't get the best of equipment, but you didn't also – we've seen other drivers in lesser equipment. I mean, even Chris Buescher's got to win, and what I feel was just as – at least equivalent equipment is what was over at HS Scott or whatever at the time anyway. I don't know. I don't want to totally judge the whole situation because I'm not big on the whole Allgaier thing. I've just never been a big fan of Allgaier. But I don't know. To me, you look at it, look at the two, and you see the possibilities of one, and then you see the ups and downs with the other. I would have, at this point, going into the season, I would have took my chances with the possibility of going up versus wanting to take this roller coaster ride that has been known as Allgaier's career.
Yeah, I agree. And I wonder if some of that attention was, well, at least we're getting Noah Gregson here. And Noah Gregson, of course, comes with his own sponsor, Switch. I think that maybe that had a lot to do with the basic non-contract offer to Tyler Reddick. And, you know, and at the time of contract, we weren't really talking about Tyler Reddick. But, of course, you know, he turned all eyes as soon as he won the Xfinity Championship. I think everybody expected Allgaier to win it. He didn't. Tyler Reddick did. And, you know, Reddick signed with Richard Childress already for this year. So now, you know, you've got a situation where, you know, these guys were trying to be relevant. And they, JRM took the opportunity to take a driver like Noah Gregson, who, you know, had financial backing, and maybe Tyler Reddick didn't have that secure sponsor. And so, you know, you stick with the Allgaier, and you bring in Noah Gregson, and you let Tyler Reddick go. I think for the future and years to come, Junior Motorsports is going to shake their head and say, man, we had this guy in our organization, and now he's out here beating us every weekend. And I think that's going to be a big thing for Junior Motorsports, a lesson learned.
Yes, most definitely at this point. It makes you wonder if going into the next season or earlier this season, they will kind of reevaluate or evaluate what direction they want to go or kind of do things. I'd be willing to bet things are going to be done differently this year. I can't see them making the same mistakes 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I think that the reign of Junior Motorsports in the Xfinity Series is going to be tapered off. I think that the focus, real focus at Junior Motorsports is Cup, and they are looking for the right opportunity to come into Cup. And so, you know, I'm not saying that they will completely step out of the Xfinity. I don't think that that's the right way to do it either. If you look at DEI, they built the organization from the bottom to the top. And I think that's kind of similar to what Dale Jr. has in mind for his own organization. But, you know, you're running out of time. Noah Gregson probably looks to be in Cup in a couple of years if successful. And Allgaier, his opportunities seem to be fading away each year. So you're kind of in this, you know, you've got Michael Annette there that's just basically, he's, you know, he brings a lot of money to the table. I hate to say paying for a ride, but, I mean, really, what more can I say? He's paying for a ride. And the Jeb Bush, listen to me, Jeb Burton and Ryan Preece and all those that are sharing the 8 car, that's just a marketing ploy for a sponsor to keep a sponsor happy long enough to find somebody to actually be in the car.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think that that was a car that, you know, basically it's it needed to be the 8 car for what Junior had planned coming up at the race here in Darlington where he comes out of retirement.
Most of them,
yeah, definitely. Did Craig ever come back?
His phone powered down. He was having issues with a power cord or whatever, and he sent a message saying power phone shut itself off trying to get it to power back up. So.
All right. Well, I know the game's coming on tonight, and of course, going to be Game 6. Toronto versus Golden State Warriors. Any thoughts on the NBA season and just the? I think at the beginning of the playoffs, people were saying, you know, the ratings were down because LeBron's not in. And but I'll be honest with you, the series that I've watched on TV, the championship between Toronto and Golden State Warriors, it's been a pretty good championship run here for either team. They're 3-2 right now, with Game 6 on the line here tonight. Who do you think is going to win? Is it going to be Toronto, or we're going to go to Game 7 at Golden State?
If Curry and Thompson can play like they did the other night, then we're going to see a Game 7. It all depends on if those threes fall like they did the other night. I've been impressed and I've been shocked. This was another one of those years, especially when they added DeMarcus Cousins going into the season. And it was one of those, well, if they stay healthy, they're going to win this. And this that was my mentality. The only series that I was even intrigued or thought was even going to be worth watching to me was the Houston Golden State series. And that's just because I can't stand James Harden, how he manipulates the rules and everything else. And as much as I don't like Golden State being a Cavalier fan, I would rather Golden State beat Houston and Golden State win it all versus Houston, because I do not want James Harden to ever win a championship. That might be petty of me, but that's just me. And then I did not pay as much attention to these playoffs and going into the finals. I every year you watch the best of the East. Can't do nothing with Golden State except for that one year Cleveland came back, so I expected, well, Toronto, what are they really going to do? And then the next thing I know, it's a 3-1 series, and I'm like, holy crap, what the hell just happened? Then to watch KD go down and sit there and watch that game and watch Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and the role players step up and watch Golden State be able to hold on, and it was a hell of a game to watch the other night.
I really felt like Kawhi with 3 minutes to go was already counting a championship that he brought to Toronto. And we've seen with 15 seconds to go, it was still anybody's ball game, and it just felt like the life of the stadium, the arena, just got sucked out of them because just like that, the game was over and Golden State won. And I think the carrier that they had after being so bluntly concerned with their teammate, it was really – it's probably one of those games that we'll go back and watch, especially if Golden State can come back and win the championship after being down 3-1. That's going to be a game that we'll talk about for a very, very, very long time. Of course, NHL, the St. Louis Blues last night, I think everybody was shocked knowing how Boston finishes most championships with a win. I think everybody had pretty much bet that Boston Bruins were going to be there, and from what I understand, it was a 250-1 odd for the St. Louis Blues to win the championship at the beginning of the year. So a great underdog story coming out of the NHL. Baseball heated up, and I tell you what, there was one discussion that we didn't get to tonight that I'll save for next week. But I read an article. I think I shared it with y'all, and we'll save it for next week. But is racing suffering from all the negativity? And you see all the negativity in all the other sports, but is it more deep-rooted in racing for the negativity and the impact that it possibly has on bringing in new fans and stuff? It'll be a big topic for us to discuss next week. So I got your thinking cap on, and just give you about a week to think about that question there. With the game coming on, and I'm really excited about watching it here tonight. I guess we'll call it a night.
and be back again next Thursday night. We're going to lay off the Monday night shows for now with some schedule changes around here. Thursday is back to the better option for us as well. So I'll be looking for us on next Thursday night. Hopefully we'll have Craig Moore back with us, and I've asked for Mr. CJ Sports. Mr. CJ Sports, what's going on this weekend at the 110 Nation? All right. Well, check out the page. Make sure you follow us, Race Chat Live, and on the 110 Nation Sports Facebook page. And, guys, have a great week. See us at Why Not Motorsports Park this Saturday night. Super Late Models have their ground-pounding machines there. 800 horsepower. It's going to be fast. And make sure that y'all are there to enjoy it. And support your local tracks. It's Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day to all you great fathers. Mr. CJ Sports, you got anything to close?
Make sure that you guys check out the sites. Our new intern, Mike, has been putting out some great articles. Go over to www.110nationsports.com. Check them out. Facebook page, 110 Nation Sports. Follow us on Twitter, at 110 Nation. July 6th. I will be at Cincinnati Reds Cleveland Indians game. For any of those that will be out there, make sure you guys hit me up, let me know. I'd love to have an opportunity to talk to all, especially my Indian fans. And next Monday night, we'll be back right here at the 110 Nation Sports Show at 9 o'clock.
All right, y'all heard it. Y'all join us next week as well. We'll be back Thursday night. It's Race Chat Live. Thank y'all for listening.